Hey, I just got back from lunch. Did you finish that report yet?
Not exactly. Still working on it. I'm not finished just yet. I got a little sidetracked, but I will get them to you first thing this afternoon.
It is first thing this afternoon.
Well, yeah, I understand that, but I mean, I am working on it.
But
I'll have
what do you mean that the report isn't finished yet?
I'm still in the process of working on it. I've just been a little distracted.
Distracted. Our meeting starts in an hour.
I can have it.
No. What were you doing? Were you listening to another hunting podcast again? I swear, I give the staff in this office the freedom to do whatever they want to do as long as they meet a deadline. That is the first bullet underneath your job description. Pays attention to detail and deadline. And deadline. Are you even listening to me right now?
Welcome to episode 69 of the Whitetail Distraction Podcast. My name's Austin, and joining me on my porch is Chuck.
69, that's funny. What's up, man?
Dude, you know, just hanging out. I'm on the porch. It's actually nice and cool. It almost feels like a fall day.
Were you out last night?
No.
Beautiful. Oh. I actually got a little chilly.
Did it?
I was wearing shorts and a t-shirt after my softball game hanging out, and it got chilly. I think it was in 60-ish, 59.
That's
at
exciting.
That point.
That's exciting.
It felt and smelled like fall.
I know this morning when I got my truck, it was a little nippy, and I was good, man.
It feels real good. Rejuvenates the soul.
It does.
When you wake up and it's 98 out,
I just want to throw up.
Yeah, like that does nothing for the soul.
Yeah.
It actually, I think, burns the soul, which is why there's so many stories coming out of Florida, right? Florida man did XXYZ.
Yes.
So, I think that's what's wrong with Florida.
Mm-hmm.
You know, we need cold weather up here to bring our soul back.
With you, man.
That's the solution to this country's problem. We need more cold weather.
We need more cold weather. We need cold weather in October.
October.
Let's say, so starting like September 19th.
Yeah, that's
I would
perfect.
Very much like cold weather.
That's opening day.
Yes, it is.
down southern parts of 2B.
The 2B.
Which I am planning on hitting pretty seriously.
I am, too. I'm planning on actually doing a scouting trip to a couple of other properties, which you kind of know about.
Yeah. Also, there's a couple I need to knock some doors in. Because I saw some pigs on some properties down there, and I need to find them. And the more I listen to people, and I hear people killing these deer in little suburban neighborhoods, I'm like, why am I not doing this? I work here.
Mm-hmm.
It'd be so convenient.
Yep.
I can get off at 4, I can scoot right out,
yeah.
And I can be in the woods at like 4:15, 4:30, whatever,
like
you know? So anyways, we do have someone here with us spiritually tonight.
Do we?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. We have to summon him, though.
Oh.
We have to rub the lamp,
mm-hmm.
magic lamp, and you have to call upon the wizard
to arise. Isn't that how you summon a genie, though?
Yeah, maybe, but in this case, it's going to be summoning a wizard.
Okay, I like it. Rub away, man.
The wizard is on the line with us tonight from back in episode, I don't even know. Early on, this man has called dibs on this episode from a long time ago. And we honored that tonight with Braden Booher.
Let the schlappies roll.
Booher.
You guys are lucky I'm not there. I would love a rub right now.
Ooh. We could possibly line something up for the future.
I was rubbing a Busch Light can, by the way, mm-hmm. just so you know that.
Oh, man. What is up, guys?
Nothing, man. It's been a while since we did one of these, and it's mostly in part to the fact that we held true to our word that we wanted you on for the episode 69.
And, of course, I'm, like, not able to be there either, too, so this is the first one we've done over the phone.
It's a slight letdown, but you know what?
It is.
We will drink enough to make up for the fact that you're not here.
Yeah.
Because that night that you were here, the last, with... Was that Jeff? Yeah, Jeff.
Yeah, oh my.
That was a shit show.
Yeah, but you made food? You didn't even make food for this episode. Come on, man.
I'm hungry. I didn't eat dinner.
Oh, I'll bring you guys some leftovers from a roast I made.
Oh, son.
We still never got together as a group on this whole buck cancer thing and did
know.
Our like banquet,
mm-hmm.
if you want to call it that.
Yep.
Where we cook up some of them deer you guys killed, since I didn't kill any bucks. You guys can probably cook up yours, and you know, maybe I can cook up some fish. From the bow fishing trip I went on.
Mm-hmm.
We still need to do that, for real, for real.
I agree.
I had a good idea for that, in which it's funny and I can't tell you about, but
I remember what it is.
You know, you're the only one that knows because you're going to help me.
Yeah, I got you.
But anyway,
say when I got the party pad now.
Yeah, the party pad. Now.
Good point. Good point. We could take it out that way for sure.
I mean, we did finish finally the last like
leg.
The leg, the last leg of the whole buck cancer thing was the camo care shoot, and we finally did it.
I got last some monies Saturday. To donate.
Yeah, let's get into that. Let's start there. So, if anyone doesn't know who Booer is, he's a local buddy of ours. Like I said, he's recorded a couple episodes with us now, I believe, and you can go back and check him out. But also a member of Northern Outcast Outdoors. So we'll get past that part. Let's go to the shoot. So there was some smack talking going down on the in the shoot here. I don't know if you remember or recall. I know it was a whole 4 days ago or what, but what happened in the outcome in that shoot? Did Northern Outcast or did the Whitetail Distraction podcast come out on top?
Jeff won, didn't he?
Yes, he did.
So yeah, we did. No one saw your scorecard, so I can't really confirm or deny our little side bet we had going there. But
you know what's funny is if I would have put money on that from the beginning, like you were like, "Hey, what are we doing?" And I'm like, "No, I can't." I would have lost by probably 20, 30, at least 30 points.
When there's money on the line with anything, I'm a totally different animal.
I'm typically a gambling degenerate, but that's not my life anymore.
I mean, you guys know me, so you know when even something remotely competitive is going on, I don't shut up. And I was, by my standards, fairly well-behaved, I feel like.
Oh. So Austin missed the shoot this year, buddy.
I did. I was a little disappointed I couldn't go, but I had my best friend from preschool's wedding to be in. So that was a really nice wedding.
That's a toss-up.
It was a really nice wedding. I would have loved to have been there, though. I mean, this is the first year I've missed since we started going. So,
yeah. Which you know. I couldn't remember. I think this is my third or fourth
third year. We started third in 2018. Year. That's what
I
thought.
Because we started on the ninth year. I was thinking because it was our first year, and then the next year, they discussed maybe not doing it for the 10th annual, and I was like, oh, shit.
Yeah.
So, this was our third year. But if you have any questions, you bring us questions since... Okay. You weren't there, so as an outsider perspective.
I'm sure something will come up, yeah.
That'll work, right?
Yeah, absolutely.
But we did the orange course this time, and this was Booer's first year, along with we had Jeff, my friend Bud, Andrew Weiland that's been on the show before, and then Jason Burks that's been on the show before as well.
Mm-hmm.
Now, Jeff's also been on the show. But it was fun, man. It was a blast.
Dude, we had some good shooters on our team.
Yes.
Like some underrated shooters were on our team.
No doubt about it. I was pleasantly surprised with how well we shot. And I've only really shot up to this point like a week and a half on and off, you know, couple groups at night. Usually this shoots like in June and they pushed it back with everything going on. I think that helped a lot.
Yeah.
Because I got into some form and actually started shooting, which helps a lot. But what'd you think, man? First year in the shoot, what did you think? What was your impressions?
It was a very well-organized, well-put-together event for, I mean, being 20 minutes outside of Tynesta. You know what I mean? Like, I mean, it's out in the middle of nowhere.
Good old Freiburg.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I mean, I thought it was a lot of fun. The course, we wanted to do the harder one, didn't we? But it was, like, already, like, sold out by the time we tried to register, I think.
Well...
So we had to do the easier... I think me and Jeff were too late.
Yeah.
Or I can't remember what it was, but...
It was still fun. We did the Hunter course, and I don't know if you guys tried to apply for the open course or not.
Yeah.
I guess you could have.
It was already not sold out, but like already full.
Yeah, they only take so many registrants.
That was also before we knew that you couldn't use a rangefinder either, so we would have been in bad shape with that. But
yeah, unknown distance, man.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, no, I was kind of nervous about that. The rangefinder's kind of turned into a crutch of sorts for me, but it was a lot of fun doing that. Honestly, I think it made it more fun, you know, because someone shoots, you're like, did you have that at like 25? You know, and everybody's like, I think it's like, you know, and then you're like, you don't know who's actually telling the truth. So.
Yeah. It was funny. Actually, the first year that me and Chuck shot, it was me, Chuck, and Anthony had to leave early. So we were actually teamed up with another group. And... me and Chuck would talk to each other. We're like, I think it's 27. We'd be like listening hardcore, and they'd be like, oh, it's 31. Don't let them know. You know? So it's kind of like, it was pretty funny. We went back and forth a couple of times, and they ended up being really good dudes. And
yeah,
those guys were some solid shots.
They were really good, yeah. But we kind of were edging at them a little bit towards the end, like, as we got to know, we're like, what do you guys got this at? it's 26 yards. I mean, these dudes shot. They had, like, the target cards. They had everything. We literally went with, like, bows and a couple arrows in our pockets. Like, yeah, we had no clue what we were doing. That's why I went out and got the... actually bought them. The hip quivers.
Yeah,
the hip quivers, which are huge. And then I bought that kickstand because those dudes had one. I was like, oh, yeah, that's a great idea.
Won't do it without it now.
Yeah. And I'm pleasantly
surprised. I had a backpack on and I felt overdressed.
I shot with my binos on my chest for the first time. That was a little different.
How'd you feel?
It's just a different draw angle.
Yeah.
You know, normally I draw, I guess, lower, and I had to raise up above them to draw.
Mm.
But kind of like, you know, target shooters.
Yeah.
Like when they raise the bow real high and then draw straight to their chin. That's kind of how I had to do it. But it started off pretty close there. It was pretty competitive for a while, Boer.
Well, once we hit the hills, Chucky started to squander a little bit, and that's when I made my tighten the gap there on him. Once he like got a little breather and we stopped for a beer, then he started coming back on again.
Liquid gold. All I needed was a Bush latte.
I let him recover too much. He was sucking wind up a couple of them hills there. That's when he started falling apart on me.
Listen, Booer, not everybody's training for elk country right now, man.
Hey, man. I am what I am.
I love getting snaps from you. You're like, yeah, 16th time around with your back and everything. I'm like, dude, this guy is a freaking animal.
60-pound pack and shit.
Yeah.
Like, what a nut.
Well, the worst part was Saturday. Saturday was the day to shoot. Friday was at the camp, and I wasn't planning on going over 5 miles, but my freaking truck broke down at the camp, and I had no way of getting anywhere, and I have no reception at my camp for, like, a long ways. So I knew, generally, the area where I could get reception near where I was hiking in. So I hiked back up after I hung my couple cameras. And got back up there, and I couldn't get service in the one spot that was, like, further downhill. So I was like, oh, my God, what do I do? So, like, I need to call Jeff to, like, let him know I'm freaking stranded here, you know? Because he was coming up that night. So I ended up having to hike back, like, 4 extra miles on top of, like, my normal thing, like, up this, like, big-ass hill to get reception and call him. So I ended up hoofing it up this hill, and then I remember I just called Chuck. And I was like, I don't even need anything. I just need to complain right now for like 5 minutes because I'm like dying right now.
Yeah. I was at
work. So I was like fairly cooked before that shoot even happened.
Yeah. What happened to the danger wagon, dude?
And I went down the road to a glass of field, and I turned around and come back, dude. My tire was flatter than a pancake. So I had to, I was like down the road with a rifle in my front seat, and I'm like, I better get this thing off the road, you know? I'm in Crocs. You know what I mean? So I limped it back to the camp by some miracle. But yeah, it was kind of a sketchy night, actually.
Oh, man.
So for anybody local, your camp's near Mayberg, right? You know, Mayberg Bridge. Hashtag save the bridge.
Yeah.
Did they end up closing that bridge down yet?
No.
It's still open?
As far as I know, correct me if I'm sure that the social justice keyboard warriors on the Tynesta Facebook page will correct me.
Hey, by chance, do you know if Nebraska Bridge is closed?
Hey, honey, get on there and see if Nebraska's flooded.
I'm pretty sure we have no worries with the drought we're in about the Nebraska Bridge.
Listen, all you need is a sprinkle. It'll be flooded.
Yeah, real page you can go on and check.
That is the only thing you will see on there as well.
I can't believe they haven't, like, just set up a live feed at this point, honestly.
Put a camera on the top of it or something, or on the trees looking over it.
They should just change the Tynesta Facebook page to Nebraska Bridge.
Yeah, that's it.
FAQs.
FAQs. Oh, my God. All right, back to the shoot.
Anyways, so far off track. Yeah, that sounds like some excuses why Booer got his butt beat by me. Now, I guess, so we all wore our buck cancer shirts to the shoot, which was pretty cool. And Bud Maine was actually the winner of the shoot. It got exciting. It was down to the last three targets at one point. Now, mind you, Boer's right. I hit those hills and I struggled. I shot 2 fives out of 3 shots, which was pretty detrimental. I was in first place going into those three targets. I dropped a third, almost fourth, actually maybe fourth, because Andrew at that point did not fall apart yet either. So Andrew,
no, he'd fallen apart. He was falling apart by the time we hit the freaking porta potty there.
Yeah,
because
yeah.
I remember I asked him what his score was, and he said it. And I looked at him sideways. And I was like, dude, you just rang like 5 11s in a row. What'd you do?
He did. He fell apart.
Dude was so quiet, and he's like, yeah, I hit like a few fives back there. I'm like, oh god. So I was like, I'm in fourth place right now.
Yeah. Yeah, you guys were all pressing, and I was struggling a little bit. I was pouting a little bit. And then I remember after we tried to rock the Portageon on Burks, which yeah, we did. Didn't. Yeah, we did.
Oh, man.
We gave him a little shake and shimmy.
Yeah, your boy was having a day.
He was having...
Your man's was out of control there for a little while.
Grab your man's. He was. He missed like 5 targets, 6 targets on the day. He had a tough time.
Dude, he ran out of arrows, and we found an arrow. Not his arrow. We found a random arrow in the weeds. And he shot that better than his ones that he had all day.
Oh, my God. Dude, he shot 2 or 3 trees. At one point, he carried a giant stick around with him for like 3 holes till we found a tree that we could put it in and break it open just to get the arrow out of. And then he used that arrow for a couple shots, and then he lost it. And then he found another one, and he used that for the rest of the whole shoot.
What's going on? I know he shoots. I don't, what, like...
We were shooting together.
Target panic or what?
Yeah. He's like been the same stage as you, Boer. You know, you both have been pretty much shooting archery now for 2 years, right? This is your second true year.
Yeah.
With a bow.
At this point, yeah.
Yeah. And he picked up a bow last year, I believe. 2 years ago was the first year he started shooting.
Mm-hmm.
But you can see it, man. We switched him out to a single pin this year, like an old school single pin that I had laying around to see if that'd help him out. And in the yard, it did. I mean, like, he was crushing circles and stuff and fine. But I think when he got there, he wasn't used to shooting with, he doesn't really know anybody else either. Like, he knows Bud.
Yeah.
He doesn't.
We didn't know each other. I mean, we hunted turkey this last spring together at one day.
Yeah. True. Definitely you and probably Bud. But the other guys, he doesn't really know. Either way, I'm making excuses for him. He gets target panic bad. Like, okay. Really bad. I've tried a lot of things. We were helping him, and we actually helped him out quite a bit. I think he turned around.
Oh, yeah, definitely. I think so. I mean, that's not knocking him either, too. I mean,
yeah.
Like I said, it's not an easy thing to do, and I know no one, you know, goes out every morning and shoots as much as, you know, some people do. You don't have time to whatever, you know, and showing up to that, too. Like you said, you're with a bunch of people, and you're keeping score,
yep.
You know.
It's nerve-wracking.
Mentally different.
There's no backstop. It's just a 3D target in the middle of the woods. And some of those, that orange course, some of those shots, there was no backstop. Like, yeah. You missed,
oh, no.
That arrow was going flying forever. And it was definitely a little nerve-wracking. You could tell in his shooting that he was flinching pretty hard.
Yeah, he was nervous about it.
So, anyways. So, I shot 2 fives out of 3, right? And I looked at the group and I went, you know what? From here on out, shooting nothing but 10s or better. I will not shoot anything less than 10 from here on out. And I don't even know if anybody was listening to me at that point because, again, I was pouting, you know, so whatever. I went on a tear. 11 straight targets. Now, mind you, I'm back 13 points at this point from the lead. 11 targets straight. I shot 6 11s and 5 10s.
That is killer.
Just went on a freaking rampage. I clawed my way all the way back. Now, because really, Jeff and Bud did not let down their guard. Like, they let me back in with a couple eights, but I earned every bit of it because they were shooting fantastic. Those two shot lights out the whole time.
Mm-hmm.
And then it came down to it. 3 targets left. Boer, you are the one that kept, well, we kept adding every five targets, we kept adding the score up, right?
Yeah.
And then we stopped.
Something like that, yeah.
Yeah. We stopped for a little while and said, well, 3 left, let's add them up. So we added them up. It was Jeff in first place. Behind him by 1 point was Bud. Behind Bud by 1 point was me. And then...
No, I think that last one, you and Jeff were tied, and Bud was in first place by, like, a point or
correct.
Something like that.
So it was something like that. Yes. So with three targets left, what happened was that third target from the last, me and Bud shot 10s. Jeff shot last and put up an 11. Went up 2. The second from last target, me and Bud both shot 11s. And Jeff shot an 8 and opened up the door. And that's when it went, me and Jeff were tied. Bud was up 1. Last target. And I choked.
Oh, hard. Yeah.
I shot an 8. Jeff shot a 10. And Bud just shoved it right up both of our asses with an 11. And said, screw both of you. I'm the champion. He said, I'm the captain now. Look at me.
Boomer, you were, I mean, where were you during this, my man? I wasn't even there, so I got no room to talk. But where were you, man? What was going on here?
I was shooting good whenever cardio was a factor. And then once we stopped for the break, the opposite thing happened to me. I was on a completely empty stomach and crushed like 4 beers. And then I came back in a little looser than probably what was needed.
It's some natter days in Boomer's book bag, right?
Dude, I freaking bummed a chew off of that Andrew kid. Dude, what the heck did he, like, poison me? I don't know what it was. I was like, am I 14 right now? Like, do I need to go throw up in the bushes? Like, you know.
Well, you chew it, of course.
What was it? A can of kayak?
Dude, I have no idea what it was.
Grape kayak.
it very well could have been.
But, nah, that was fun, man. That was fun. You definitely were shooting well. By no means were you shooting poorly, and a couple times when we really got this talking smack, you shot better. When I stayed quiet and walked from, you know, target to target, you didn't have that competitive edge because I learned to let a sleeping dog lay. And I kid you not, I'd put up an 11 and Boomer literally would just crush my fletchings. Like, he was right on top of me. Boom. I'm like, you son of a bitch.
As soon as you said something about, I forget what it was, because I mean, you were chirping about the scorecard. I said, yeah, whatever. I came up, I like barely even aimed at the target. Dude, I just pulled up and immediately pulled the trigger, and I shot an 11 right behind that second group. He just like looked at me like, what? I was like, yeah, keep talking.
Keep talking.
We recorded a bunch of this too, so there's actually going to be a video coming out.
Where can people find your channel at?
At Northern Outcast Outdoors on YouTube and Instagram. We have an Instagram. We have a Facebook, but Jeff's in charge of it, so it never gets updated. LOL.
Yeah. I don't know why you put the caveman in charge of a Facebook account.
Facebook's so beat. Can't deal with it.
Oh, my. All right. Well, like you Twitter got your account. Plug. Good talking to you, Boomer. See you later, bud.
See you now.
No, we have a Twitter for some reason. Chuck's in charge of that.
I tweet from
our Go Wild, our Twitter, like, they're like not existent anymore. It's too hard to keep up with all of them.
In all fairness, Anthony ran our Go Wild for a while there.
For like 2 days.
I've never posted on that.
Yeah, ever. I didn't either. I don't even think I have access to it.
He was so pumped. He's like, I got like 15 followers on there. It's like, cool, man. Cool.
Oh my God.
But our Instagram's growing.
Yeah, our Instagram's so great. I like Instagram.
It's fun.
Every now and then I'll take over ours and do some degenerate type posting and then leave as quickly as I came.
Yeah, I like it.
But YouTube's usually the realm that I linger in.
The tubers.
Yeah, which is probably why it's suffering. I don't know.
Dude, it's all right. It's all right. Our YouTube is on fire, man. We get like 50,000 subscribers. I mean, I can't even keep up with all these people. It's incredible.
Hey, dude, YouTube's a grind. I say it every time we talk, I feel like, but dude, YouTube is a serious grind.
Listen, tell Boomer how many views we got on that John Eberhart episode, though, because I couldn't believe it.
Oh my goodness, I know. We're over 4,000 views on that John Eberhart
podcast. On a freaking podcast.
On YouTube alone.
No kidding.
Dude, how crazy is that?
That's badass.
Yeah, I was like, I don't know, like 600, 800?
Let's say, I think our most viewed video is at like 3,100, something like that, when I checked it the other day.
Yeah, man.
I had a viral video back in the day. Did a spoof video.
Would you like me to say the title of it?
No, don't
freaking
dare.
It's my favorite video in the world.
You guys keep hinting about this. I'm going to find it.
I'm going to send you a text.
You're going to send me a text.
Yes. I would send it to you, but not the world.
I'm going to do it right now.
It was like,
I haven't made any Chucky memes in a while.
Oh, come on. You would get some good ones out of that. Some good ones.
Fire up the group chat.
You know, it's like one of them things when you're in high school and you're you know, 16, 17 year old kid and you think you're cool. And like My New Haircut came out. Do you remember that video that went like viral, the My New Haircut thing? They did like a million different spoofs off of it. Maybe you don't know. You're just not a degenerate.
You have something in your inbox, Boo. I'm just saying.
I've just heard the notifications.
Basically, anyways, we did a spoof of that, and it was like, this is the greatest idea ever, but like my buddy wrote the whole thing up, and then we did it, and I was like, yeah, I got made fun of for that day on till today about that. But, you know, it was funny because a lot of people went on there and like commented and like, oh, you're such an idiot. Like thinking we were serious and not realizing it was a spoof. Like we were making fun of that person. And that person went on, like, telling us how bad we were and stuff. But I can't give any more hints. I don't want anybody finding this, so I can't give any more hints. But let's go somewhere else with this, please. Please. Can we talk about...
Hold on. Let me add this to my personal collection real quick here.
Can we talk about hunting?
Yeah.
In some form.
Hit me with something.
Can we go back to turkey season? Because Booer's the man when it comes to turkey season. Can we go back, Booer? And talk about it for a little bit, please.
This turkey season was brutal, man.
Yeah.
I agree. Mine was terrible.
I mean, turkey season the year before last was brutal, but I mean, like, in a completely different way, I feel like. I can't speak for everybody. But I mean, I only had 1 week to hunt the whole season with the COVID nonsense going on, which sucked.
Yeah, that's stupid. Well, you got screwed, though. You got screwed with work. Because you were supposed to, well, and Jeff too, right? Because Jeff didn't.
Oh yeah. Well, yeah. Because I mean, all the schools got shut down. We're both parents. You know what I mean? We were working full time jobs on top of that. You know, so does our spouses. So I mean, like we were homeschooling our kids at that point, which was like super brutal, dude. And actually, like props to my wife. You know, I was allowed to still go this week. Like she sucked it up and took one for the team and let me go still. But you know, it's like. I put myself under like even more mental duress. Like I'm a nervine about that stuff. Like not like, the COVID stuff. I mean, like when it's like time to hunt, dude, like I'm like OCD, like nervine, like ready to freaking go, like gotta get it done, gotta go, you know, an extra mile, knowing that I only had literally 1 week, the whole season. That was it. Like this week that I was going to the camp was all I had. I started like putting mental pressure on myself like immediately, which started to compound problems before they even started.
Yeah.
Which is it's not what you mindset want. To have going into something like that yeah. you know, are supposedly supposed to be enjoying. You know, all the stress at home and then going up there and it's like, well, I'm gonna get there Saturday and then I got 5 days to do this, you know, Monday through Friday, and then I gotta go home. And then you get there and there's everybody that's laid off from work is up there hunting. So it's like, okay, I got this to deal with now. What, you know, time to pivot. You know, you're hunting in territory that you know, didn't scout, weren't planning on hunting. And it's just like this, like compounding, like mental frustration. So the one day I remember I called Chucky when I was getting out of the woods because you can only hunt till noon that first week. And I was like, dude, I don't even know if I want to like go back out tomorrow. Cause literally I left my ONX tracker on. I drove close to 23 miles that day. And every pull off between the backside of Marionville and Salmon Creek, all the way back around to Nebraska Bridge, down through like Guytonville Road, there was a car in every freaking pull off the whole way down through there.
I can definitely vouch for that one.
Dude, like it was insane. And I mean, I don't know how many of your listeners like remember rifle season in the 90s up there, but dude, like the worst Friday in the 90s up there during rifle season was not as bad as this, and it was insane. It was frustrating.
That's crazy.
That's a statement.
Yeah, that is a statement. I kind of feel the same for around here, not even just up the mountains. My turkey season, there were so many times that I would go and I would try and hit this piece of public, or I would find something on Onyx and I'd drive way out to hit this piece of public, and there would be people just freaking everywhere. I got stopped by a game warden twice. Turkey season this year was just so intense because so many people were in the woods, and I wasn't prepared for that.
No, I don't think anybody was. No. You know, the pressure was insane.
Yeah.
The whole time I was up there, I got 3 birds to actually like, you know, respond to me. And it was after this is the lengths I had to go to. I had to cross a river in chest waders and then still hike miles to get to a spot that was like sort of untouched. And that's where I finally started getting a little bit of action. But like by then it was like Thursday.
You know?
It's like I got 2 days left to figure it out, you know. The one day I went with the one kid that lives up there right down the hill from me, and we walked across some waders, and we weren't expecting to go far from the river, and we got in a little bit, and I got one to answer. This is actually a crazy story. I got one to answer, and we moved down on it, kind of like posted up for a second, and it like moved away, but it was still talking. And we ended up going in like the whole way with our chest waders on, because we didn't bring boots. You know, we packed light that day. So we ended up, I think my Garmin said we went like 3.5 miles in waders, chest waders.
Oh my God.
Right. So we're set up, and you know, sure shit, I call one in, right? And the problem was we spooked some hens on the other side of this like little washout. And, whenever I finally got him to answer, the hens were kind of like poking around down behind us. So he went straight to the hens, like 60 yards out from us, and I just couldn't get him to come back in. We tried to circle around, but it was like 11:30, and dude, we were soaking wet from sweat in those stupid waders. It was insane. But
well, they're super breathable. I don't know if you've ever worn waders
before. Dude, we got a picture of it. That was actually like the first day up there. I was like, wow, I like really had a lot of fun, you know. But
yeah, it's not like you could wet wade or do any of that option. It was like 30 degrees, because so that's definitely not an option.
Oh, well, that was the weirdest part about that week, dude. The Monday to Wednesday, if I remember right, it was like, you know, kind of hot out. The river was like brutal, but
yeah,
it was like sunny and kind of hot out. And then, dude, it snowed Thursday.
Yep.
Yeah, I remember that.
Like, not just a little bit either. Like, you know, there was accumulation on the ground. Like, and then it snowed again Friday, I believe, too, didn't it?
Saturday for sure. Yeah, Friday. Friday
was yeah,
a freaking
yeah,
blizzard.
That's what it was. It snowed Thursday into Friday, and then Friday into Saturday.
Yeah, because we went up Friday and hunted Friday, Saturday that weekend, and it was literally a blizzard at one point, like in turkey
season.
Dude,
it was in the teens, the temperature, in May. This is the first week of May we're talking about. This isn't like February.
Yeah, our season doesn't start early.
Yeah, so the end of the first week of May, it was freaking... Dude, I'm pretty sure if I remember right, when we got in the truck that morning, it said like 14 degrees or something silly like that. Like, it was brutally cold out.
Dude, it was really bad.
I had my Thermacell still on my pouch from like the week before when I was getting destroyed by mosquitoes. And then like I'm out walking around and I'm literally getting blizzarded on.
You sent me a Snapchat.
Yeah, and I was like, I'm so glad I carried this out here with me. Like,
dude, it was terrible.
Oh my God, I never thought I'd turn on in the frickin' winter,
hey,
basically.
I mean, that is one good positive, is you don't have bugs.
Yeah.
And it keeps the green down longer.
Yeah.
Which it did, especially up there. It did, and I actually killed a bird that weekend.
You did. You killed a bird.
So, I can't complain. I told
you got a nice one, too.
Yeah, it was a nice bird. I was pleasantly surprised. It pulled a little doopsie doodle on us, but we ended up getting it. I don't know, man.
The last day that me and Jeff went out, we went near where I called that bird in, and he was hunting with his bow. So we kind of like posted up under these trees, and there wasn't like a good place for me to sit to like see what was going on without like sticking out like a sore thumb, because we were kind of sitting on the edge of this kind of like a little meadow, like a little field. It was like maybe like 70, 80 yards to like the other tree line. So, you know, wide open, but I was like, dude, I really don't know where to go, but this is like a good spot. So I like tucked in behind him. He was sitting on a stool, and I like laid down on the ground, like behind him. And I started calling from the ground, like laying down from the ground, and a couple birds answered us in the roost. And we like, okay, you know, we're going to wait until 9 o'clock, and then we're going to make a move no matter what, you know, unless something's coming in, obviously. So I like do a little calling. They sound like they're still in the roost, and there was one like way off, but he sounded interested. Like he was calling back fairly quickly. So took my hat off, did like a little like fly down call. He answered again. I was like, ooh, you know, so we're like, let's hang out for a minute. So it's like, you know, getting like 8 o'clock-ish, something like that. Everything shuts up again. We're like, oh man, what do we do? So 9 o'clock rolls around. He goes, I got to pee. I go, all right, well, let's, you know, get the stuff in the bags. Get the decoys in the bag, and let's, you know, go to the next spot we wanted to try. sure enough, and this was totally a rookie mistake on my part, because I should have known with all the people up there how pressured these birds were. He stands up, takes two steps, and looks, dude, there's one that was like 20 feet from us behind us, coming in completely quiet.
Oh, no.
And he's I was like, and I remember just watching this bird just run away through the freaking spruces, and I'm like, there goes our season right there. I just like immediately was like,
defeated.
Yes.
It's a good word.
So many levels defeated.
Yeah.
And it was like, dude, it's Saturday. That was like the one shot that I got, you know, that I got. I called in this bird, and I should have known if they were caught. There was four that called. I was like, chances are one of these are going to come in. And then I should have known from all the pressure that they were going to be quiet. It was when you don't see anything or you have such bad luck all week, you know, you start to make those stupid, you know, overly aggressive mistakes that are just like, stupid, you know.
Yeah, you start pressing. And that's
literally what happened. It's just, you know, you mentally get fatigued and you do dumb shit like that. And I was like, I knew that. I knew that we should have just waited it out a little longer. But yeah, that was literally how my season ended, was watching that bird run away into the freaking spruces across the river.
That hurts.
That does hurt, man.
Yeah,
that's a damn dagger. And then that does look like a really good spot. You show me that spot on the map, I'm like, man, there's
I will be using that as a primary location for things. I got a camera hanging there not far from where that incident occurred, actually, as we speak, so.
What are you thinking, Chupacabra, or, you know?
Bigfoot spot?
I sat on the other side of the river in the last that area one night, and I counted 20 deer.
Oh, nice.
So we're going to stay near that, I think, in the early season, so. We're going to see what happens.
Cowabunga.
I know I got 2 weekends for sure up there in October, so.
Nice.
I'm starting to get them patterned out, but that's the thing, dude. Like, you have stupid shit like that happen on a hunt, but then, like, you know, you stop and think about it. Like, you're up there in your happy place, and, you know, I've found it to be more of a spiritual thing now, you know, where it's like, dude, you only had that week, and you kind of, like, turned yourself into, like, a shithead over it, you know, for no reason. Looking back, I still had a blast. I mean, dude, freaking called a bird in, chest waders, was laying down, called one in, you know, just like, you know, goofy stuff, hanging out with your buddies. And it's like, you know, you gotta like take it at face value. I feel like, you know, instead of like getting so hung up on the fact that you didn't get one, it's like, well, you know what? The old lady still let me go out. I shouldn't have even got the 5 days that I got to go out there. Really, you know.
No, I'm with you, man. And, you know, just getting out, like you said, and hanging out with your buddies and getting to do in any season, whether it be deer season, turkey season, that it really is what it's about, man.
Oh, dude, it's a spiritual thing. It really is. You know, I'm not like some overly religious dude or anything like that, but like when I go up there, like if I'm not up there, you know, a few times, you know, if the time lapse between trips up there occurs too long, you know, I get a little, you know, goofy, like I need to go up there and recharge. Like I need to be up, you know, where I don't have cell service unless I hike 7 miles. You know what I mean? Like,
you know, in the intro of this, I said how the cold rejuvenates your soul. Well, the mountains do the same thing.
It does, dude. It really does. Like I can't speak for everybody, but like I physically like need it. Last weekend I was up there, man. I mean, I spent 2 days up there totally by myself. And people like at work were like, why do you go to your camp by yourself? Because, I mean, these are all dudes that rifle hunt and just go up there to get blasted with the buddies, which is fine. I do that, too. But, dude, I love going up there by myself.
Yeah.
I freaking love it, dude. I love going and disappearing in the middle of nowhere. You know what I mean? And I saw freaking wild river otters
the other day. That was freaking cool, man.
Dude, I didn't even know we had otters in Pennsylvania until the other day. I'm going to be totally honest with you. I probably wouldn't have seen it if I was with somebody else, or, you know, sitting on the couch hungover, freaking drunk from the night before, or, you know, what, any of that stuff. You know, I just genuinely enjoy going up there and being outside, even if it's not hunting.
Yeah, no doubt about it. And it's weird because you go up there and it's almost like normalcy again. And you come back here and it's like mask wearing and bullshit and COVID this, COVID that. It's like, I just want to go back up there and reset again.
Yeah.
It's a nice reset.
Not getting political, but I mean, you know how I feel about things, like probably stronger than most. So it's like to get a breath of fresh air. Ha ha ha.
You know, oh yeah.
helps a lot. Man.
Yeah, for sure. for sure. But, you know, regardless, yeah, it does suck. You only have that 1 week, but I'm glad you come to the realization that, you know, instead of putting pressure on yourself and thinking you have to get it done in a week, that you find a way to enjoy yourself still, which is what ideally is why we do this.
Yeah.
That's why
you're absolutely right. And you know what really did it was the night after all that happened, it was like stupid cold. And when it's cold up there, I mean, the stars are like so ultra clear up there. Mm-hmm. Like it's insane. I mean, you can see like the Milky Way and all that stuff. And I remember going out to take a piss and it was dark out. And I remember looking up, and I go, wow, it's really freaking bright tonight. And then I was sitting there and these coyotes started going nuts like down the river. And this, you could tell it was a big one. It was like just giving like the challenge bark to these other ones and they just weren't having it, dude. And I was like, okay. I go, this mofo ain't backing down. I go, I sure as hell ain't. I go, I'll be back. I'll be back. Maybe not this year, but I'll be back. And it was like kind of like that, like weird, like animal spirit kind of like, you know what? That dude probably just got his teeth kicked in, but he don't give a shit. He's barking back at these dudes anyway. You know what I mean? Like, I'm down with that, you know? And that was kind of like, you know, I went home smiling after that. You know what I mean? Like, it was like, you know what? I still had fun. Whatever.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. No, that's a good attitude to have, man. I don't know. That whole thing, like, I feel you. And I've had my kind of, like, come to the mountain moments, too. Like, I don't go to the mountains as much as I used to anymore, but just, like, being up there as a kid and stuff like that, you know, you have all those memories, and it really is, like, it's not that far away, but it's a totally different way of life.
You know? Absolutely.
Like, just people up there are totally different. The surroundings are different. I mean, it is different geographically, but, like, I don't know, that whole way of life and the whole kind of camp vibe and what it is to Pennsylvania, I don't know. It is something special about it. Yeah. I don't know.
Boomer, did you end up going to Cougar Bob's?
Yeah, you kind of let me down a little bit. I know, dude.
And you know what? I don't know how many times I said it after I left after the shoot. Why didn't I just stay up camp? Like, why am I doing this? I came back home to hang out with guys from York that we go play softball with every year because we're not going to the tournament this year. I'm like, well, I'm not going to see these guys. And, they're good friends of ours. I'm like, I'm going to hang out with them. So we got back, literally walked right onto the softball field, played a game, lost in extra innings to get eliminated from the tournament. And I stayed in, because technically I ran the tournament, even though I wasn't going to be there. I was running the tournament all the way up to the point. It was my responsibility. I umpired the next four games for the next 4 or 5 hours I was there. They all left. They all left and went and drank and ate and had a huge party. Like, we didn't eat at all, but me and Burks stayed there the whole time. We didn't eat anything since the damn shoot when they fed us, and we didn't leave there until 12:30 at night.
No,
we got done, and I'm like, why am I here and not at Cougar Bob's eating wings? Fill my face.
You know what we did? We went back to the camp, fired up the grill. We had bear burgers. And we drank two cases of freaking Natterdays with the neighbor guy.
You literally never mentioned Bear Burgers. You never mentioned that.
And then we played Kid Rock on top of the hill by the outhouse and sat in lawn chairs and just like...
I'm not going to lie. That sounds glorious.
It does. It was. Chuck's been to my camp, so he knows. It's like I sit on the one side of the Tynesta Creek, like higher up the hill.
Yeah.
You can see the other... It's a pretty sick view from, you know, my backyard up there. So, I mean... Dude, it was a beautiful day out. Got the lawn chairs out. Went down to the river, swam a little bit, you know, cleaned up, brought the shampoo down there, had a couple of beers down there, jumped off the rock, came back up, ate dinner. You missed out, my man.
I'm highly jealous. I really, really am. I definitely regret every minute of my decision.
Is there a guy seriously chainsawing right now? It is 8:25 at night, and there's a guy running a chainsaw outside.
Dude's a legend.
It might be Leatherface. I don't know. We're about to be like Texas Chainsaw Massacre right now. I don't know.
His family's just getting annihilated right now. We're just having a good old time talking about the mountains and pleasantness.
Oh, my God. Yeah,
man, you ain't going to rain on our parade, man. Go ahead, dismember away, but, you know.
Ain't going to ruin my vibe.
Boomer, are you going to hunt early season this year, man? I'm curious.
Oh, absolutely. We're planning on going down for that, like, early
the
September
19th.
Opener.
Yeah.
We didn't get one, but we had like some good encounters down there. The only thing I'm worried about too is people still being laid off. There's going to be a lot of traffic down there, more so than usual, but
Remind me after the podcast. I'm gonna let you in on a little secret.
Yeah, the kind of the state, like me and Jeff's like secret weapon was the fact that we worked afternoon turns. So like on weekdays, that's when we would get in the woods when no one else, you know, when everybody else is at work. But with the layoffs and I don't know who's back to work now or not, it's kind of a doesn't matter now. You know what I mean? Like it sucks no matter when you go now because nobody's working. But I'm hoping that enough people are back to work, you know, in a month that we can go back to our normal sneaky ways of afternoon turn going hunting in the morning.
Yeah. Yeah. No, I'm with you, man. No, I'm pretty excited about it. Me and Chuck have been doing that for 3 years now.
At least we've gone out 3 years in a row. This will be our fourth year.
This will be our fourth year. Yeah. You know, even if it's not killing anything, getting out and getting that first climb of the year, knocking some rust off and really like,
oh yeah,
getting just working out the kinks and getting ready for the actual regular season opener and going in. It's almost
like a scrimmage.
It is. Yep. It is. I love that.
Then there's no expectations.
Nope.
So you're just out there basically trying to kill a deer. You know, you're trying to put yourself in a position to kill a deer.
Yeah.
And to our detriment, we don't really go out and scout before season. We just kind of played off of
what happened every year
before. Like, hey, you know, they were here last year. Maybe we'll try this spot. And then last year we went in totally blind, tried cutting the shortcut through, blew out dozens of deer.
Basically, my headlamp died as soon as we got there. So we're running off of Chuck's headlamp, and we're going through a wall.
Mm-hmm.
Like, we couldn't find our way through any of the stuff. We're basically falling down this hillside.
Oh my God.
Getting into a creek. Dude, we heard probably 15 deer blow out the whole time.
I don't even know how many deer took off and blew at us. And I'm like, well, there goes another one. And you know, we kept positive because it's first day. Like, it's bonus. We know it's a bonus day. But, like, the last time I was in there, it was winter and rifle, and it was like, Austin, I got this, buddy. It's so easy. I can navigate us through here. Yeah. Okay. In September, it's not the same as open. January.
No. It gets thick down by that freaking river if you get, like, on the northeastern side of it, dude.
Yeah. But it's fun down there. I didn't calculate in it that we're still going to be dealing with this COVID crap. And, you know, as we get closer to November and October and September, like, it's only going to get worse. And I don't know, man. I never thought of that. We're really going to have to get creative, get away from people.
Mm-hmm.
I did some scouting down there last year in rifle. I went down there by myself and just walked. I don't even know how many miles I put on. I basically covered the whole damn place. And I found some pretty interesting spots that, at least from where I came in, I don't see many people doing that, but I think there may be easier access from another point. So it's like, it's tough out there, man. You know, it's tough.
The one thing I will say about that place, that Jeff and I, we do scout heavy. That is one thing that we do.
Mm-hmm.
And that place, I mean, we literally wanted to go hunt it for the exact reason that Austin said, was like, you know, go get warmed up a little bit. And we went without tree stands. We said we wanted to hunt from the ground, and honest to God, we almost got a few deer. The best chance we had, freaking Jeff didn't see him coming down the hill.
Oh no.
And they were, I think they ended up coming to like 15 yards by the time he finally saw him. I was like, oh my God.
But, he missed one that day, didn't he? He shot at one. Is that the same day?
No.
Different day.
Actually, the video of that happening is on the Northern Outcast Instagram. It's pretty funny, actually. But that was the only place we didn't really physically scout. I mean, we kind of looked at the map and, you know, came up with a game plan before we came there, not just like, let's walk down this trail. Like, you know.
Like everyone else there does.
But I will tell you what, I saw two of the biggest buck turds on that game lands that I think I have seen ever.
Yeah.
Like, dude, they were cow pads. They weren't even buck turds.
I saw some giant rubs last year, like giant and high up, that really opened my eyes. Holy hell, there could be a tank here. And
yeah,
I could see it. You know, especially with all that private land that surrounds it.
And I'm sure yeah, no those deer dip in and out of that stuff. It's silly down there.
It's pretty thick, too.
We are also talking about in West Virginia, just so everyone put your mind at ease. We're not talking about Pennsylvania. Yeah, we're talking about West Virginia.
Oh, I thought we were talking about Vermont. You guys didn't get your Vermont license this year?
Oh, no, that's right. I got New Hampshire. Yeah.
I thought we were doing New Hampshire this year. Every even year, we were doing New Hampshire.
Oh, no, dude, I screwed up. The Pennsylvania boys are taking us out to Harrisburg.
Oh, okay. 5C. Yeah. 5C.
That's it. Okay. I thought, you know, because our season here opens up October 3rd, so I don't know. You guys were talking about September. I was like, yeah.
Yeah, Potter County.
What's that? The Tioga Legend or whatever? Did you see
the Giants?
Did you see that picture re-risen? Grant Forney, the Everyday Outdoorsman.
Oh, yeah.
The Tioga. It's Tioga, right? Tioga Legend. That freaking giant deer.
Yeah.
That's like unbelievably huge in Pennsylvania. That's where we're going.
Oh, my gosh.
Oh, man.
Speaking of Pennsylvania, I didn't draw an elk tag again.
I didn't check, but I'm guessing since I don't know if I have one, I didn't get one.
Yeah, I'm unsuccessful.
But that's okay, because we have the same odds as everyone else is drawing an archery tag. Think about that.
That is true.
We have the same odds.
I know a man that has applied for an elk tag for the last 18 years and has not gotten one. The dude got preference points like you wouldn't even imagine.
Well,
it's a joke.
So here's what I come to find out. The points in Pennsylvania are not actually preference points like you get in different state. Like preference points, I just listened to a podcast on this. Preference points, you know, basically you get so many points and eventually you draw. They call them bonus points because technically all they do is like add you for another entry when they draw. So you can have 18 points, which means they just put your name in a hat 18 times. It doesn't give you any other benefit other than the fact that your name's in the hat more. Well, okay, your name's in the hat 18 times, but there's 50,000, 40,000, 50,000 entries.
Mm-hmm.
And you still don't have very good odds.
No,
like, it's the lottery. You know, it's a lottery for sure. It's crazy.
No, it's insane.
You can get your whole life and never draw.
Part of me, like, gets really mad at the state for how they do it. You know, it's just such an exclusive thing. You know, and, you know, lucky, like you said, but at the same time, beginning of December, go look around and just walk through the woods and see what you see with frickin' dudes and rifle season the second week, you know. It's like, those would be the same yahoos that are applying for these elk tags that are out there, like, you know, doing stupid shit that would be out there shooting, you know, everything, like, you know, the Amish, everything. So it's like, when you think about it that way, it's like, okay, you know, they kind of make it so it can't get, you know, ruined by, you know, idiots, but at the same time, it's like, I want to go shoot an elk. I'm probably never going to get an elk tag in PA, though.
Yeah. You never know, man. Chuck's dad freaking drew one time.
Yeah.
Yeah, he did.
Yeah.
Yep.
It's the redneck lottery, man.
It really is.
I'm trying to think of which podcast I was listening to, because I listen to so many, but they just had a really good episode on this with a biologist, our state elk biologist. And he really laid it out well with, you know, everything they're trying to do to keep elk population healthy and keep them in certain areas and everything else. And I cannot. Oh, you know what? It was East Meets West. It was Bo Martonic's podcast.
Good old Bo.
Bo had a guy on and they did a very good podcast covering a lot of the things that I was always questioning because I had no clue how it worked. And that's where it was. So go check that out if you guys want to find out more on the whole drawing system and, you know, our elk herd and where it's become and how it was created and everything else. It's actually a really good informative podcast.
Yeah, man.
Was that the one where he was talking about like Colorado and Wyoming too?
No. This one was purely PA elk.
I'll have to check that one out. I usually stay up to date on him.
Speaking of elk hunting, Boer, are you ready to go out west yourself?
I unfortunately, because of COVID, got screwed out of this year's journey westward.
Oh, yeah. Man.
We got our vacation days taken away from us.
That is a bummer, and I'm sorry I asked.
Yeah, it sucks, but
I'm giving them don't ask that question over here, because I knew
it sucks.
Well, that's heartbreaking.
When I see you next time, I'll give you a hug.
That's actually a good thing, though, because think about it, next year, you whip my ass in shape and we'll all do it together. Because I really want to do it like I'm bad. But
take it in, baby. I mean, that's what I got the gear for. You know what I mean? Like, we're in the we have everything to go do it. And then it's like, hey, we're getting ready for your vacation time. Yeah. Here's a check for some money. Yeah, suck it. So that's kind of what we had to deal with. Because Jeff and I work together. So, you know, we're both in the same boat with it.
Yeah.
Well,
I mean, luckily Ryan and Lane are still going. I think they're going to Colorado now.
Yeah, they're going to Colorado.
They're leaving a couple weeks, I think.
They pulled an audible because,
At least someone's still going from our collective group of friends, but.
Yeah. That's a bummer though, man. That's a big time bummer.
Situation.
You know, you could come up with a cough around September 20th.
I already did that in turkey season.
Oh, man. Well, you know what?
Yeah, but nowadays you get paid bonus pay and everything else for it.
Oh, God.
Yeah, that sucks.
Damn it. Kind of bamboozled out of it, but.
That's horrible.
We're planning a smaller couple day backpack hunt in archery season that we're going to do up in the camp during the rut. So
I like that.
Take a long weekend and go derp around up there and see what happens.
Well, maybe just focus a little bit more on the early season. See if you can maybe go hit that hard and feel like it's elk hunting, man.
Yeah, I mean, that was kind of the last weekend was dual purpose other than the shoot. You know, I was out doing my camera hanging. Actually, funny story, when I was hanging cameras, I freaking made a mock scrape, I peed in it, turn around, I'm hanging my camera, and I hear this noise. And I hadn't been in this spot long, like maybe like 5-10 minutes, just, you know, long enough to take my bag off, get my camera out, and I turn around, there's freaking two deer about to walk into this mock scrape, like right there while I'm hanging this camera. Like, I have this all on camera too, which is like, it was borderline unbelievable, and these deer just like stared at me. I'm like, what in the West Virginia? Like, and they just kind of like hung out for like a minute while I was just standing there, like filming them. And I was like, dude, this is insane. It's like, so I guess there's deer here. I guess I'll leave this camera here.
Yeah. Dude, that's killer though. At least you got some cameras up, man. I only got one up. I'm like, I'm slacking hardcore, man.
Yeah.
Yeah. We got a couple out and, we're going to try Ohio this year. Jeff, got some property for us to hunt on. We put a food plot on actually.
Who are you?
So, we got a couple cameras out there that we haven't checked yet. And then we got those couple up by my place. And then, I believe we have one near where I shot my buck last year. So we like to keep that spot in our back pocket now at this point because there was other deer there that we didn't see that we're hoping survive. So we need to get a head count out there too.
Offspring of, old Big Ball.
Well, there was bigger balls than big balls out there. to put it lightly.
Oh, my Lord. I'm still waiting to see this necklace, by the way.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Where are we at with that?
It's still, what do they call it? It's still curing.
It's still curing.
You got on salt.
Oh, man.
Well, dude, don't be shy. You know, you get that Ohio license. You guys get sick of that property. Let's go down to some public land. I know there's plenty of giant, stupid, big hills. You guys can crawl up and down. I'll keep hunting the spots. I know where their deer are. But
yeah, I love it, dude.
Yeah, we'll have to do that for sure.
Yeah, I'm just trying to save up another $270-something for the Ohio one here, but I still got a month to do it.
Yeah,
so
that is a punch in the gut, that Ohio tag. Anymore.
Yeah, it sucks for PA guys. It really does.
Yeah.
Well, I think it went up this year.
You're right.
It's 270 something, I think, for that with the archery tag.
Dude, yes, it keeps going up.
It's 270. Yeah,
it's insane.
Now, what's nice about you guys having some permission on private property is if you do want to go over there and fill a doe tag, you can do that. But the downfall of that is a doe tag is $80, 70, $80 for just a doe tag, like an either sex tag. Since last year. It's $70-$80 just for an either sex tag. So really, anymore, when I go to Ohio, I'm hunting one deer.
That was like $26 or something.
They used to be, and you were allowed to kill. Well, first they changed it, one doe on public land.
Yeah.
That's it. Across the entire state, you kill one deer on public land. You can't kill another one. You have to kill your other deer on private land. And then they changed it, and that rule still applies. But now, instead of $26-$27, it's now $80 for just an either sex permit. And they have the doe permits, but there's like nowhere in the state you can use those stupid things. So what the hell was the point of them even doing that? Ohio's definitely irked me a little bit lately. And then they rubbed it in. They rubbed the salt in the wound when they wouldn't let me buy a turkey tag there, which turned out to be good, but still pissed me off.
Yeah, that's a bummer though, man.
It seems like everybody's making it harder for out-of-staters. I know Idaho, that's where we were originally planning to go hunting. They jacked their prices way up.
Did and, they?
I mean, everybody
about Pennsylvania
is making it like harder for out-of-state people to come hunt.
Yeah, everybody but, I mean, but Pennsylvania, dude. Pennsylvania is still one of the cheaper states up here that have good quality deer and most and turkey, good turkey numbers, and you can come hunt here for dirt cheap. And we have bear. You can hunt all of those things. We have a plentiful of all of them for super cheap compared to any other state.
It's come stupid. On, man. I don't want any more pressure here. No,
that's what I'm saying. That's
I'm kidding.
I know what you're saying, and I don't. We know we don't agree with no more pressure. But my whole point is how much revenue is missed because our state won't jack our prices up with everybody else.
Listen, they ain't jacking the prices up until we have solid Sunday hunting.
I mean, maybe it's just me in the fact that, you know, we only talk to, like, PA hunters, but, you know, you hear about a lot of guys, like, going over to Ohio hunting, you know, going out west, all this stuff. I can honestly tell you there's only been one person that I've ever heard of that comes to PA from out of state to hunt deer, and it's your boy Casper from Ohio.
Yeah.
He told that goofy story about him on some freaking kayak or whatever it was, but, like, I just don't feel like there's as many people to say, you know what, I want to go hunt PA.
Yeah, I mean, it does
like,
happen.
You know what I mean? Like,
We have a bad rap, man.
Well, there's a couple things that play into that. Our borders, every bordering state, like right around the border, they do that. The dude on YouTube from New York comes in all the time. What's it? Kill It Outdoor Kills, something like that. Kill 'em Outdoors. You know what I'm talking about?
Oh, yeah.
KEO, Kill 'em Outdoors.
Kill 'em Outdoors.
He's in New York. He comes and hunts both all the time. Yeah. But I know along the border, a lot of people come in and out because our license is so cheap. But what deters that is no Sunday hunting.
Yeah.
So this year, for the first year, having some Sundays, that's probably going to sell more license just in itself for our archer or our rifle season, because I know a lot of people, I don't know them, but I see a lot of people from Ohio coming over here for our rifle season because they can't use a rifle. Yeah. So I think that's the benefit for Ohio that time of year, that they don't really... It's kind of shitty weather. There's really not going on a lot with deer movement, so they come over here with a rifle where they can reach out and touch them. I see them up by Campy, and I see Ohio people up there.
Absolutely.
So I think that's one thing that draws them in, but I definitely don't... You hear it, kind of, because some people just want to experience Pennsylvania, but it's not like something that someone desires, maybe, is the word, you know? We're not, like,
I feel like you're more
after.
Likely to hear somebody going to Ohio or Illinois. Yeah. Or even West Virginia, for that matter, to go hunt bear, you know?
Yep. But,
dude, I'm going to PA this year, bro. Like, and getting hyped up about it, you know what I mean? It's like,
Which,
granted, I love hunting here, but, you know what I mean?
Yeah, it's tough. And, you know, I may not even get the Ohio license this year. I may say stick it because I just realized I have a license and tags in West Virginia.
West Virginia.
I'm probably just going to do down there. I mean, I'll just go down there and shoot some doe.
I don't know why you wouldn't.
We were down there for turkey. Dude, there are deer everywhere. Yeah. Everywhere. And they have so much public land. Dude, they have so much public land right on our border. I mean, just spot after spot after spot public land. I'm sure it gets crushed, but who cares, dude? It's rifle season. I'm going to go.
For sure.
I'm going to go meet up with some hill jacks or something, and we'll go shoot some deer. I don't care. That's what I'm all about.
Yeah, you might go get fingered in a rape shack. Who knows?
That's the beer I'm looking for right there.
Oh, dude.
Oh, my God.
Well, we can start to wrap this thing up, but I did forget to mention one thing. Austin, I have some stuff in the truck for you. We ran into the PA bow hunting boys.
Oh, I love those guys.
These guys gave me some flack for it because I sat there and talked to Adam and Justin.
Justin Reed?
Yeah, Justin and Adam. And we had a really good conversation. I talked to those guys for a while. Almost made us late for my softball game afterwards. But those dudes are pretty good dudes, and they gave me a little care package for the two of us. So
awesome. Dude, they're freaking good dudes. Honestly, they're like our freaking biggest supporters of this podcast. They share everything. They like everything. They comment on everything. I mean, those guys, I love those guys.
Yeah, they're pretty cool. Well,
shout out to those dudes. I kind of put my foot in my mouth with them because they actually took our group picture after they were done talking to Chucky, and then they posted on their Instagram that they were in Freiburg at the shoot. I didn't realize it was the same people, and I commented a picture like, oh, dude, we were there.
Yeah,
I was like, yeah, we took your picture, you freaking dildo looker. And I'm like,
guys.
I feel like an asshole.
They really are good dudes, though. I love them.
They are the greatest.
Shout out to PA boys. My bad.
They're going to be on the podcast. We got to get them on. We tried to hook up one time, and then it just scheduling conflicts went on. But we're going to get them back on.
We're going to get them on for sure. They were pretty cool. And it was funny because I was giving them directions because on the website, it basically brings you to Freiburg. So they were like sitting at the Freiburg Sportsman's Club. And I'm like, no, dude, you got to keep coming. So I sent them the directions and stuff, but we got there last minute. They got there last minute. We missed them. I'm like, yeah, there's some guys that are coming that I kind of know. And someone from our group was like, yeah, funniest thing. I saw a dude wearing a White Tail Distraction podcast hat at registration. Did you see that dude? I was like, oh, well, that's got to be him.
I don't know if you've seen his video on YouTube, but he probably shot a 300 because of that hat. I'm just saying.
He outshot Adam, which he said never happens.
I'm telling you, dude.
And he had a hat on.
It's the hat.
I'm just saying.
It's the hat.
Just saying. We all had hats on, and we shot very well.
Telling you.
So, you know,
you might as well get our camo killing caps for season. You won't miss. Guaranteed.
We got to get rid of some other hats first.
We got some other hats, too. We got a bunch of hats for sale, people. You hit Chuck up, and he will send it right out to you. Or you hit me, and I'll send it right to Chuck. We accept Venmo. We accept cash. We accept no checks.
Hunting property permission.
Hunting property permission is very welcome. Boer accepts back rubs for their merch.
Hey, I brought you hunting with me on property. I still have to pay for both of my hats.
I didn't get any fun hunts out of this.
And to be fair, I actually shoplifted one from the freaking Sportsman's Night Out, and then I ratted myself out and paid anyway. Yeah. Didn't even know. I took it.
Oh, man.
To be fair.
I wore it all night. I was like waiting for Chuck to say something. He never did.
I knew you had it on. I was going to let it go, and you paid me. But your loss.
Idiot. What an idiot.
Idiot.
Oh, I mean, man. I'm a degenerate, but I'm a man of honor.
That a boy.
I like it. You have a very large heart.
Listen, the first hats that we made, Austin and I both paid for our own hats. That's true. True story.
That's a true story. I still have that hat.
Me too. I wear it for softball. It's destroyed. But
the Northern Outcast had hats. Two of them. I'm actually looking at it right now. It's hanging on the wall. We suck and we didn't get anything else. So you have two, though.
You have one of two, though.
I do. It's a collectible. Limited edition.
Yeah.
We got a lot of stickers. We had more stickers than anybody, though.
You gotta hook us up with some hats here. Get some new hats going on, and hook me up with them.
I
need to just call Sporting Goods and just get like 100 shirts.
I just talked to them today. Amy's my girl down there. So. I got stickers in today as well.
Did you?
Yep. Well, we're gonna have to come up with the next challenge for this buck cancer season. So
Next thing on the docket, we need to have that damn dinner.
Yep.
And I think that's the time we figure out what's going on with the buck cancer this year, who we're going to include.
Let's do that soon because if we want to bring other groups in and like legitimately look for like sponsors and different things, we have to do that quick.
Yeah, I agree. Coming up here soon.
Well, we suck, so it's going to be the last minute like we always do things.
Yeah, it'll be fine. It'll be fine.
It'll be all October 1st, September 12th.
You know I'm always down to party, though.
I like it.
All right, man. Well, let's do that then.
All right, but were you on any last plugs or anything? Anything you want to say? Anything you want to get out there into the universe?
Well, we got some videos coming out here. We just posted one of my little fishing journey from last weekend. And got a couple coming up here. We've been doing some heavy scouting. So, I mean, just really stay tuned to the YouTubes and our social medias. We've been starting to get pretty active here. Like I said, dude, COVID just had us like shut in and shut down. We kind of haven't really posted anything since the Sportsman's Night Out. It sucks, but kind of got a little media blitz going on here right now.
Yeah.
Hey, I feel you. Head over there and watch Boer do some fly fishing.
Cool.
They'll understand. Like that again. They'll understand when they see it.
Okay. I can dig it.
Well, you have to listen to like a previous episode of me on the show and then reference said joke and then go to like what? 4 minutes and 37 seconds on the video I posted.
I'm so excited now.
They'll totally get it.
Holy crap, man.
I can't escape the trout vest. You can't escape the dude in the trout vest.
God. I don't know where that's going, but I love it.
It's like Jason Voorhees, like just waiting in the woods behind you as soon as you hit the river, dude. He's just like ready to come out and bomb the hole that you're in.
Oh, my God. I love it. I love it. I cannot wait to watch it. It's going to be great. Idea. Everybody, go check out Northern Outcasts on YouTube, Instagram. Check out their non-existent Facebook. You know,
you'll see our friendly faces on there at some point.
You'll see them on there. Not mine, but Chuck's. You know, give them a like. Give them a subscribe. Give them some love. Comment. Say, hey, you guys are awesome. You know, all that fun stuff. As always. Yeah,
shout out to PA boys. I suck.
Yeah. PA bow hunting.
PA bow hunting. They're awesome dudes.
_ bow _ hunting.
Correct. Yeah. Correct.
Justin and Adam, good boys.
They are good boys.
All right, let's wrap this thing up.
All right. As always, head over to iTunes. Give us a 5-star review. It would be greatly appreciated. Helps us tremendously. Check us out on Facebook, Instagram, YouTube. Go wild. Anywhere podcasts are found. iTunes, iHeartRadio, Stitcher, all those fun places.
iHeartRadio.
Yeah, check that stuff out. And, you know, we love you guys. Thank you for continued listening. Until next week. Booer?
I'm a virgin.
The distraction is real.
I love it.